Shall we once again turn to the second letter of Apostle Paul to the Corinthians? Second letter of Apostle Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 13. And we shall read verse 11. Verse 11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. And the title this evening is Paul's Final Words to the Saints. His final words to the saints in Corinth. And we continue with our studies on the second letter of Apostle Paul to the Corinthian. God willing, the next week will be the final one. Now, Apostle Paul wants to conclude his letter. His final words serve as a good lesson for all of us. It helps us to know the mind of God. It encourages us to do what Christ wants us to do. Finally, brethren, farewell. So coming to the end of the second letter to the Corinthians, he says, finally, brethren, farewell. Farewell, this means much more than just keep well. It means over here to rejoice. Not just rejoiced a little, but rejoice exceedingly. Departing from a friend or family members is different when departing from a brethren. The New Testament doesn't use other forms of goodbye. For example, it uses the word, same word, farewell in English. But in the original, it means to take leave or to separate from the ones whom you were living together or someone whom you have met and are saying goodbye. It can also mean to say be strong, thrive or prosper. During a lifetime, we say countless farewell. The idea of the world about farewell is goodbye. Well, it may be expressed in action like kissing and shaking hands or giving a hug before you leave your friend or your loved ones. The people of the Bible also do this kind of parting, namely drawing a person towards oneself and giving a holy kiss. But this does not amount to saying rejoice, rejoice. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, 11, which is our text, Paul uses the word farewell. And here in this text, the word farewell means, as I said, rejoice. Rejoice exceedingly. And the same word is used in Greek when Paul writes to the Philippian saints. Philippians chapter 4 verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Same word is used. Finally, brethren, farewell. Rejoice. Now as you know, every parting, separation brings a little bit or more of sorrow, sadness. We miss a good friend, a good brother, a good sister, a good neighbor. We miss when we leave our parents to go to the university or to live on our own, even sometime to a different foreign country. Separation brings grief and pain. We miss our home when we have to leave our home and go into care facility when we are old. Our hearts are filled with sorrow. But here Paul wants to end the letter and a kind of separate himself from the brethren, and in conclusion says, rejoice. Rejoice exceedingly. I think the children of God have no cause to be sad due to this separation. The reason being, we have the Holy Spirit in us. In the worst situation, He is with each of His people. For His promises in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The Lord says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And Jesus, knowing that His time is up to finish the work that He came to do and depart from His disciples, Jesus said to them in John chapter 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And further in verse 16 of John chapter 14, Jesus says, and I will pray the Father. I will go, and from there I will pray the Father. He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but you know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you, in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. What comforting words these are. What comforting promise. Verse 27, let not your heart be troubled, Jesus says again, neither let it be afraid. Many are distressed during these 2-3 months. Many are depressed. Many have expressed that they don't know what's happening to their minds. Oh dear friends, stick to Christ Jesus than ever before. Read His word, look at His promises, know that He is in you. And if He is not, then you must repent of your sins, because it is sin that separates you. It is sin and unbelief that causes you not to have Christ in your heart. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Fear, as you know, is a terrible thing. Imagine, fear causes you to keep people far away from you. It makes you be paranoid about the things you touch, about the things you eat. It makes you paranoid, and paranoid is a terrible thing. Paranoia is a terrible thing. But Jesus says, do not be troubled. I will never leave you nor forsake you, neither let it be afraid. Don't be afraid. I am with you. Where is your faith? This makes us understand why Paul finally, before closing his letter to the saints in Corinth, says, farewell, rejoice. Jesus has said not to be troubled. Believe in Him. As promised, Jesus has given the Comforter to abide in us. Therefore, the thought of being lonely should be alien to God's people. The thought of being sad and miserable should not be entertained by His people. The idea that separation will bring endless trouble is without foundation for the children of God. Why? The Lord's people possess the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. The brethren possesses the Lord, the Holy Spirit. We are bonded together in the Holy Spirit. We are the body of Christ. He has given us the Comforter. Comforter. He has promised that He will never leave nor forsake us. He has come to abide in us forever. So then, when we depart from our friends or are separated from our family members and brethren, it is a good thing to say, rejoice. Rejoice exceedingly. It should remind us that Christ abides in us. His Comforter, the Holy Spirit, dwells in us, and He is joy unspeakable. Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. I'm repeating it so that it sinks into our mind and that we remember when we are sad, when there is fear, that Christ is in us and that we should rejoice in the Lord always. We are not only to rejoice when we meet, but continue to rejoice when we separate ourselves from our loved ones. We must rejoice always at all times. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Let us carry this thought with us this evening, that because Jesus Christ is with us, we rejoice daily. And you know what Christ has done to give us this joy, joy unspeakable. He has laid His life for us, that His joy may be ours, His Spirit may be our spirit. In God there is joy. Next, Paul says, be perfect. Finally, brethren, farewell, be perfect. Apostle Paul is not saying this from his own mind. He did not make this up. This has been the will of the Lord for His people from the very beginning. God made mankind perfect in His image and likeness. Adam was a perfect being, and so was Eve. God would not make anything less perfect. All His ways are perfect. 2 Samuel chapter 22 verse 31, as for God, His way is perfect. Perfect. Therefore, it is but obvious that we should be perfect too. 1 Kings chapter 8 verse 61, let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God. This is a command. Let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in His statutes and to keep His commandments as at this day. This is the reason why the Son of God came, that He might give us the Holy Spirit to help us to be perfect as the Heavenly Father is perfect. And Jesus Himself said in Matthew chapter 5 verse 48, be therefore ye perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. To be perfect means that we become fit for the purpose God has created us. We are looking for a job, and from our early age we go to the university to become fit for the work that we have decided to work. Whatever we want to become, doctor, engineer, whatever, we go and train ourselves to become fit for that particular work. God has made us with a purpose so that we become fit for that purpose. The meaning of this is that we become totally equipped, fit for the framework of God. A sin, as you know, made us unfit for His frame. Our image was marred from the beginning with Adam and Eve, our first parents. Our intentions became bent. We fell short of the fitting to the framework of God. You know, when the glass is bent or warped and you try to fit it to a frame, it cracks. It cracks. If it is not of the exact size, it falls. It cannot remain in the frame. So is our soul. So is our soul. Rebellion and unrighteousness has made us bent and short so that we do not fit the exact image of God. And this brings fracture and cracks and sufferings and pain and trouble and death. The Lord Jesus Christ, made in the flesh of mankind, went through all the suffering, although He Himself did not sin. But the consequences of our sins were laid upon Him. He had to fight and overcome with the will of God. He had to overcome and fight to keep the will of God. Jesus was constantly tested, and He was put into situations whereby He suffered difficulties, injustices, and oppression. He was challenged by learned people and leaders of the people, by rich people and wicked people and powerful people. He had to stick to the framework that God had given mankind to walk with. Because Jesus stuck to the walking according to the framework that God had laid for mankind, Jesus was persecuted and put to death. Jesus, the captain of our faith, was to be made perfect through these testing, just as we are tested. We fail, but Christ never failed. He was perfect till the end, totally fit according to God's image. We fail many a time, but we must work, dear friends. Now that we have the Holy Spirit, we are made His children, we must work out the salvation that He has given to us with fear and trembling. We must be perfect. The Bible says, Jesus, in order to bring many sons into glory, He, as a captain of their salvation, had to be made perfect through sufferings. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. Though He were a son, rather verse 8, or this is what it says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8, though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered, and being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. Our ultimate goal, brethren, should be to become perfect. The commands of the Lord are the framework for us to live a perfect life. And He has given it to us in writing. We don't have to search for it in the deep sea. We don't have to go to the moon to find it. No, you don't have to imagine. It is there, all written down. Next, Paul says, be of good comfort. Be of good comfort. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. The Lord has given us the Comforter. He comforts us in all situations. The Comforter is a person who calls a person to his side. It comes naturally, isn't it? When we want to comfort somebody, we take that person, you know, into your side. You draw him closer to you to comfort him, even physically. The Comforter is a person who calls a person to his side. He draws a person who is in trouble to himself. He draws a person who is departing from the right path to himself. He draws a person to himself that is shaken up, afraid, who is very sad and grieved, who has become hopeless. This is actually the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised, saying, John chapter 14, verse 16, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. You see that? You get the image? He will not only draw us closer to him, but he will come to us, in us. He'll make our dwelling in us, abide in us. And now we being God's children, we are to imitate the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. Just as he comforts us, so must we comfort our brethren. Apostle Paul had written in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, and then 4, Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. How wonderful. We cannot do otherwise but comfort those that need comforting, show mercy to those that ask for mercy. So Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, even to the end of his letter, is filled with much teachings. He's sort of summarizing all that he has written. Rejoice. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. And next, be of one mind. So Paul goes on to write, be of one mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Be perfect. Be of one mind. If you are called to be perfect like the Lord, then obviously, we are to be of the mind of God. Philippians chapter 2 verse 5, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. And Jesus himself says in Matthew chapter 11 verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your soul. Take my yoke, Jesus says. What is Jesus' yoke? All his commands, all his teachings are his yoke. Living by the commands gives rest for the soul. Try it out, dear friends. Try it out, even in the most difficult time. Yeah? When people hurt you, when you go through upheaval, you have lost a job, you have lost someone who is very close to you, someone has been very unjust towards you, spoilt your name, done all manner of things to you, and you say, Lord, what am I to do? The Lord has told us, forgive. Pray for those who hurt you. Pray for them that persecute you. And this will bring immediate rest to your soul. It is very practical. Christian life is not mysticism. It's very practical. Practical. It gives peace for the soul. It gives joy to the heart. It gives comfort to the soul. And it causes us to do the same to others. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 4. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Dear brethren, when the Lord asks us to put on His mind, we are called to live a life of the triune God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, because they are of one mind. They are of one mind. Since they are of one mind, therefore there is one God, not two gods, one mind, one God. But if there are two minds, different mind, there will be two gods, three different minds, three gods. They will differ from one another. But the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, they are of the same mind. They have the same thoughts, same will, same desire. So Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 12 verse 16, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Be not wise in your own conceits. All must think in the manner that Christ has taught us to think, so that we be one, even as the Father and the Son are one. The Father and the Son, they speak the same thing. So Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 10, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing. Same thing. And that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Jesus stands as a proof that all that He does is what God asks Him to do. All that He speaks what God asks Him to speak. And so Apostle Paul commands, saying that you all speak the same thing. The same thing, what Christ has taught you. Since we have the Spirit of God, we should speak the same thing. God is spirit, not spirits. Spirit is the very principle of being, the very essence of being, which thinks, decides, feels, knows, desires, wills, and whatever the spirit is. This spirit is of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 1 verse 27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit. That ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. You see that? One spirit, one mind. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 8, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Philippians chapter 2 verse 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Because we are the body of Christ. You see? And so the body, you know, one hand doesn't go this way and another hand doesn't go that way. It's all coordinates according to the mind. And Christ is our head. So be of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Philippians chapter 4 verse 2, I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. This whole business of ecumenical movement is a movement of the spirit of the devil. It is not about being united in the spirit of the Lord, no, but of the mind of some self-conceited, power-hungry men. And this power-hungry, conceited man will not allow anyone to prosper, and he will demand all to put on his mind, not the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. We take one more point that Apostle Paul finally told the saints, and then bring this talk to an end. Live in peace. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. How can we have peace if we don't have the peace of Christ in us? Our peace is destroyed because of sin. Because of sin, people don't have peace in them. Man cannot have the inner peace unless the spirit of peace rests in him. The peace that surpasses all understanding. How is it that you are at peace? Remember John Wesley, as he was coming back to England from America, and there were those Christians, and there was a storm, and he was frightened, he and his brother, they were frightened to death, and here was a group of Christians, peaceful, singing hymns, rejoice always. You see, they were ready to meet the Lord any time, and he could not understand that. He was a preacher, but he could not understand. He went to America to preach from England because he was not born again of the Holy Spirit. And then he understood, and later on, the Lord saved him. For this purpose, the Prince of Peace came into the world so that we humans make peace with God. He came to break the middle wall, the separation that exists between God and man, and reconcile us, make us one with God. Nothing else can make us one with God, dear friends. Only Christ Jesus. This Jesus did through shedding his blood to make us one. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, but just not a belief on the lips. No. You got to give your heart to him. You got to follow his will You got to love him and admire him and know the truth, Jesus says, and the truth will make you free. Jesus destroyed the enmity that existed between God and man on the cross. So you must know. You must understand and realize that you are an enemy of God if Christ has not forgiven your sin as yet. I was an enemy of God. I came to know after marriage, because nothing was happening in my life. Nothing right was happening. Couldn't get a job, you know. And I was living in my wife's parents' home. What a terrible thing. And I was very angry with God. I used to curse him. And then one day, I said, do I have faith? Do I really believe in Christ Jesus? And from the depth of my heart, I said, no, I don't. You see, the truth is, if you don't have Christ in you, if your sins are not forgiven, you are an enemy of God. Yes, dear friend, that is the truth. While we were yet enemies of God, Christ died for you. That's the purpose. He died so that we understand and know and then say, Lord, I don't want to be your enemy. Lord, I want to be your friend. Come, come and make me your friend through Christ Jesus. This Jesus destroyed the enmity that existed between God and man on the cross. He came to preach peace. When Jesus was born, the angels came to announce peace on earth and goodwill towards men. He preached peace. But not only did he preach peace, as, you know, the leaders of the nation and so many of them say, peace, peace, let us have peace. But Jesus not only preached the true peace, but he put the spirit of peace in the hearts of men. He's able to do that because he is the creator. You see, he is peace. He is a prince of peace. He is a prince of life. So we are commanded, dear friends, to live in peace, who have the peace of Christ. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace. Apostle Paul writes in the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. No man shall see the Lord. If I'm all the time fighting, if I'm all the time agitated, if I'm all the time thinking about, you know, things that are not giving me peace, you will not see the face of the Lord. Romans chapter 12 verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And James writes in James chapter 3 verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and ease to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And so we come to worship the Lord. We are not going to pull down some statues. We are not going to do something to set on fire anything. We are come to the Lord of peace, as a people of peace, to praise him and thank him for the peace that he has given to us. And so must the whole earth, this neighborhood, who don't know peace, should come and receive peace from him. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 11, finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. So, you can see how Paul summarizes the whole of the Christian life, showing that without Christ dwelling in us, we cannot rejoice. For joy is the inheritance that is allotted to the people of Jesus the King. Since God is perfect, we are called to be perfect. And with Christ, the Son of God, living in us, our very purpose in life is to be perfect like Him. Now, life is full of suffering, but again, we can overcome because Jesus has sent His Comforter in our hearts. He has not left us orphans. So having the one who comforts us in all things, we are to comfort one another and live in peace. Shall we pray?